Robin Hood Radio presents Agriculture from Tucana Farms. Here's Mark Scherzer.
This Sunday, September 30th, from 5 to 8, Tucana Farms will be one of the local producers featured at Grow Germantown, a celebration of local food production sponsored by Otto's Market and other sponsors. Our participation will take the form of contributing several of our wonderful frozen heritage breed turkeys. The theme of the event is seeds. It will mark the start of a local seed library, and a film about seed saving will be shown. The sponsors asked each of the participating farmers to give brief presentations about both their seed saving practices and about the figurative seeds that blossomed forth to make them farmers. Well, I have to admit that we don't do a whole lot of seed saving on our own. We tend to buy most of our seeds annually from the Fedco catalog. Sure, we favor heirloom varieties of seeds for the particular qualities of flavor and texture they've been treasured for, but we do tend to mix it up in a very practical way with modern hybrids here and there, too. For some purposes, like the many pounds of tomato sauce we cook up and freeze for winter use, modern varieties like Celebrity work pretty well as much as Brandywines. And their relative lack of fragility and handling has some advantages. Indeed, the major single type of vegetable seed we assiduously save these days to use from year to year is our Turkish pole beans. They're wonderful green beans, flat like Romano beans, but longer and squiggly, and even just a tad sweeter. And the reason we save them carefully is you just can't get them here. My partner, Peter Davies, I can now disclose without putting him in legal jeopardy, bought a packet of the seeds some years ago in the garden supply streets that adjoin the Egyptian Spice Bazaar in the Eminönü district of Istanbul, and over my lawyerly objections, he smuggled them back here. My objections, I must confess, did not prevent me from eating the fruits of the crime. The illicit origin of the seed, to my mind, even added a little something to the flavor. The reason I can now disclose this illegal activity on Peter's part is that he can no longer be prosecuted for it. He's been immune since his death on September 12th. And since his death, I can also, without embarrassing him, pay tribute to him as having planted and nurtured the seeds of our farming life. I was born in the Bronx. My early comfort zone was a world of concrete, brick, and asphalt. I've been told that whenever, as a toddler, I was placed on the grassy median of Pelham Parkway near my grandparents' apartment, I would burst into tears. You could say I was at two with nature, an alienation from the natural world that was not in the least overcome by summers in a Catskill Borscht Belt bungalow colony, or a youth spent primarily in the New Jersey suburbs. In high school, to be sure, I had fantasies of living on an agricultural anarchist hippie commune, but I'm not sure I would have felt the tug so strongly if I'd actually known what farmers did or how messy a world they lived in. I frankly had no idea that beans grew on bushes or potatoes underground. It was a miracle that when the BBC ran its famous April Fool's Day piece on the spaghetti harvest in Ticino, I got the joke. Peter, on the other hand, was a nurturer from an early age. Among the tales of his childhood was the story of Christmas 1945 in Cardiff, Wales. In the immediate aftermath of World War II, Christmas trees were once again available to the general public after wartime austerity. Peter, an 8-year-old who had only seen Christmas trees at a local orphanage before then, was thrilled when his family got one, and he helped decorate the tree with homemade cotton balls and the like. But when Christmas was done, Peter also undertook to water the tree, thinking he would keep it alive and enjoy it in the future. He could not be dissuaded from that mission until the tree, despite his watering, turned utterly brown and lost its needles. When after the war Peter moved to the home of his stepfather's family in Illinois, he was pressed into garden work on the very substantial vegetable plot, one responsibility which he loved. Wherever he went in life after that, he planted. The roof terrace of our penthouse in the shadow of the World Trade Center, the grounds of the Byram House in Sag Harbor, where he created romantic Victorian-style garden rooms in the style of the era of the house's construction, as well as a substantial vegetable garden. And quite notably here at Tucana Farms, where the seed of an idea of the farm was planted in Peter's mind when we bought the place. But he did not really swing into full-bore production until after Peter's life and business in New York were buried in the attacks in 2001. He reshaped the landscape and nurtured both vegetable and perennial gardens ceaselessly. On good weather days, as an 80-year-old, he would still be weeding and transplanting a good 4 or more hours a day. Peter was fascinated with seeds, wrote about their different shapes and sizes and styles of germination. As he trained me in planting, the wonder of the seed, its capacity to produce delicious edible food in large quantities from a tiny living blueprint, captured my imagination as well. But as a teacher, Peter was most emphatic that one's focus cannot be on the miracle of the seed, but rather on the nurturing of the plants they produce. He never stopped reminding me of this imperative, telling me how when he arrived at our New York apartment after long stretches upstate, the plants would run to the door, panting and greeting him effusively, thankful that someone who understood the need for generous watering had finally arrived. One might say that the DNA of Turkana Farms, its seed, was embedded in Peter's conception of it, his idea to follow the model of a Roman villa, a refuge from the city which produces its own food and sells the excess. The growing medium of the seed was the ash of the World Trade Center. That's where the farm germinated and from where it grew. But the nurturing of the mature organism is the challenge we face now. Please rest assured that maintaining this living ecosystem, this farm, is important to me both as a worthy value unto itself and as a tribute to Peter's memory. I hope you'll stay tuned and stick with us, as in the coming weeks, the plans for the nurturing of this organism, ensuring its future growth and prosperity, are firmed up and revealed.
Mark Scherzer of Turkana Farms, specializing in heritage breeds of livestock on their 40-acre farm in Germantown, New York. Mark presides over his law firm, Mark Scherzer Law Office, which specializes in health law, also in the Wall Street area. TurkanaFarms.com. Their email, farm@TurkanaFarms.com or 518-537-3815.